Right, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. You're going to look at something tonight that I think, depending on what it is in our life that we're dealing with and going through, as a result of things that have befallen us, we could say, I think this is probably one of the hardest things in this Christian life that it is for us to do. And we're going to look at forgiveness. Look at forgiveness tonight. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this time in your house. Just ask you, Lord, to lead and guide as we look at forgiveness. We are to forgive one another as we are reminded of the fact that you forgave us. We're going to look at this tonight. Just ask you to help us. I ask you to give me the words you'd have me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, tonight we're going to look at forgiveness. You know, oftentimes we don't think about it because usually our motive for not forgiving has to do with who we think we're getting even at or who we think we are making it harder on. But oftentimes we don't bear in mind that to carry an unforgiving spirit is extremely detrimental to our walk with God, as it puts a break in our fellowship with God. You know, it also puts certain restraints on God, such as if you don't forgive others, he won't forgive you. Now, if you aren't receiving forgiveness for your sins, then your sins are obviously still between you and God. So really, we have to find ourselves in the place where we say, nobody on this earth gets to determine what my walk with God is going to look like. So we see in Colossians 3 and verse 13, we just read that. First word of that verse is forbearing. That means ceasing, pausing, withholding from action, exercising patience and indulgence, a ceasing or restraining from action, patience, long-suffering. Now, this is hard for us when you find yourself in some form of disagreement or something has happened to you as a result of someone else. Then first off, biblically, we are to forbear one another. Now, this is important because if we click with everybody, then we would never have to forbear anybody. I have to forbear from time to time just about everybody in my life. Because at one point or another, they will poke me in the wrong spot, so to speak. They're going to do something that I don't like. By doing something, by not doing something, saying something, not saying something. Sometimes if we're honest, it's not so much what people do sometimes, it's what they don't do that bothers us. But the idea here is that when we click and when we're on the same page, there's unity, but you can only forbear those who would perhaps irritate you, frustrate you, or who do things that you would not do, or do things in a way that you would not do them. We see this a lot out in the world and even in Christian circles. Instead of forbearing in the workplace, people leave. I know people who cannot keep a job because of people. And it's like, you cannot let anybody, and I've tried to tell them, you cannot let anybody interfere with your work and bringing money home for your family. You cannot let people do that. There's somebody that comes to my mind right now. I've known them for a long time and cannot keep a job because at every job there's somebody there that they don't like. Buddy, that's life. Get in somewhere and stick it out. There's going to be people there that you don't like, but you go to work anyway. You deal with people anyway, but we got this culture today that we've created, and even in churches, if somebody don't like somebody in the church, they just leave rather than learning to forbear them. Or they want the person that they don't want to practice forbearance with to leave. It's common because we've got this about us where we want this perfect little environment, perfect little bubble where we don't have to practice that forbearing anybody, where we don't have to learn to put up with people, so to speak, that are difficult. And instead of forbearing people, they run. They're not long-suffering. You know, it's not scriptural to avoid being long-suffering, to avoid forbearing by running from the opportunity all the time to practice it. If we are to be long-suffering and if we are to forbear, then don't shy away from the opportunities by creating your own safe space of only the people that you like. And I'll be honest with you. Every one of us in here, myself included, can be difficult. And will, at times, be difficult. But just as we would want to be loved through our difficulties, we should love others through their difficulties. I also add, in order to forbear and be long-suffering towards others, you have to have injustices come your way. Now, we want a life free of injustices. We want only people that say nice things to us around us. We want only those who say nice things about us around us. That's culture. That's just society. Sometimes that's what we want. We only want people around us that agree with us, that are agreeable to who likes what we like, who wants to do the things that we do, who has the same interest as we do, as we have. But in order to become better at long-suffering and forbearance, it takes practice. So God gives us people to forbear. As a result, when people give you reason to forbear them, then forbear them. And through forbearing them, you learn forbearance to greater and greater degrees. There are people that I can be around today that 10 years ago, I probably would have killed them. I was crazy enough in my head coming out of the Marines, and I could deal with them today, but 10 years ago, it wouldn't have been possible. It probably literally would not have been possible. But I can deal with them today. Don't erase the people that God sends your way to help perfect you in your long suffering. Just view it as something that will help you perfect what God has commanded you to do. So don't think that we're good at this if we're only including our friends or those who we do like. How about who we don't like? How about those who get on our nerves? How about those who don't think like we do, who do things differently than the way we do it? How about those who say hurtful things? How about those who you know don't like you? Or they don't treat you well, or they don't give you nice looks, or they speak to you sharply, or they avoid you? Now, this is when the rubber meets the road. This is the true test. Are we long-suffering then? Are we forbearing then? It goes on to say forgiving one another. So it takes it a step further. Not only should we cease, pause, withhold from action by exercising patience and indulgence, also a ceasing or restraining from action, patience and long-suffering, which means essentially they don't even know that what they did to you upset you because you withheld your response. Now, by the way, we can be quick responders at times in our flesh. It's like a reflex. So, but not only do we withhold our response for their action, but you should also forgive them for their action. It's not just good enough to withhold response, but you also should not leave that encounter harboring their action against them in your heart. Forgive means to pardon, to remit as an offense or debt, to overlook an offense and treat the offender as not guilty. In Matthew 6:12, we read, if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So this takes it a step further. Because how many times do we withhold our response from someone, perhaps, which means we cease to take action, which is good, but then we hold it over someone's head within our hearts and our minds of what they did. Forgiveness is also somewhat easy at the first offense. But forgiveness becomes hard when forgiveness is always in demand and perhaps over the same thing. Sometimes we want to say, I'm not going to forgive because it's just going to happen again. But that's where we must realize that forgiveness is not so much for them, it is also for you. We will carry either a heart of forgiveness or unforgiveness with us. Now you think about this here, the people who hurt you often, and they know they're hurting you, and they don't care. These people, they're out living their life. If they had any decent thought of you, they wouldn't treat you this way anyway. But since they do not genuinely care about the way they treat you, nor do they think they need your forgiveness or else they'd ask for it. So you are to forgive them because it's not only right, but because forgiveness is for two people, the offender and the one who has been offended. It is for the offender, even though they don't desire it or they'd ask for it. But it also, if you harbor unforgiveness against the offender, you will end up in turn treating them the way they have treated you. And then it's the pot calling the kettle black. As you have allowed yourself to become the offender in response. If you become the person in response to the person, then you are that person now. That you are the person that you were so adamantly disgusted with. In war, murder can be in your heart. They strap bombs to women and children, beat their wives in the street, beat their animals. There is no white flag. Little capture, hands up means little. They'll cover your heads, tie you up, execution style, and cut your head off. But if we aren't careful, we would be tempted to devalue the white flag. We'd be tempted to devalue surrender and deal with them the way they deal with us. And I had heated conversations at times when we were overseas about this, because in my heart, I didn't see their white flag because I knew they didn't see ours. But if you respond to murder with murder, you lose the high road. You're no longer right. You've joined them in the wrong when you decided to respond to wrong with wrong. You become who you have the unforgiveness towards. And don't think the devil won't send someone your way to treat you so badly and influence you negatively so that you become just like the person that he sent your way. And he'll do that. He'll say, this person over here is miserable. They're right where I want them. This person over here is not miserable. They're not right where I want them. So I'm going to put these two together. I'm going to have this miserable one over here cross the path of this one over here and do something to them. And then I'm going to get behind what this one did to this one. And I'm going to end up through this one's response, reaction to the action, get this one to be just like that one. Don't think he won't do it. He will do it. Also, then moving on, unforgiveness leads to bitterness. I've been here. I have lived this. I'm telling you, I've lived this tonight. I've lived it. I thought within my heart I had been so mad at people before and so upset at something that somebody did. And I thought that I was really getting even with them by not letting go of it. I thought if I snarled at them whenever I was around, or if I threatened them this way, that way, and the other way, that I was really getting at them. I was really getting to them. Sometimes we think, man, if we just cold shoulder somebody, we're just really sticking it to them. No, you're not. You're not. That's hurting you more than it is them. They could care less. They don't take us seriously. They could care less. It multiplies the hurt. It multiplies the harming effects. The devil loves the most destruction as possible. So through a lack of forgiveness that leads to bitterness, now the devil and his tool that he has used has moved on. Mission accomplishment. And one is lying in despair and he loves it. You've got to forgive. Now forgive is not to forget. Something we don't have that capability. Unless we lose our mind in age, we ain't forgetting nothing. That's just really the way it is. The Lord is able to forgive, and once the Lord forgives, he's able to choose not to remember it anymore. We cannot make a choice not to remember something. We can say, I'm not going to let what I remember have a hold on me. We can make those kinds of decisions. So forgive is not to forget. Those who teach that those two are essentially synonymous, that's just not the case. Forgiveness is possible. Forgetting is not for us. It's just not. Forgive is to no longer allow it to hold you bondage. Now, this is what happens when we don't forgive. Whatever the person did to us just ends up becoming a reoccurring cycle. Because we won't let it go, which means we are consistently victimized over and over and over and over and over by the person because we will not let it go. So forgive is to no longer allow it to hold you in bondage. And for you to no longer hold the offender in bondage or for the offense. Now let's look at how Christ forgives us. Hebrews 8 and verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. We see in Hebrews 10 and verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. In Jeremiah 31 and verse 34, the Bible says, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. So let's look at what the word remember means. Remember means to have in mind an idea which has been in the mind before and which recurs to the mind without effort. So God, unlike us, once he has forgiven, the remembrance of our sin is not there. Now, I do believe, and I was thinking about this earlier today, I would be a much better husband, father, pastor, Christian if I had this capability, but I don't. And it would be something like this. For an example, say, and it'd probably be extreme, but sometimes I can have extreme analogies sometimes. But say somebody knocks me upside my head on a Sunday night. And then they come to me on Monday, truly sorry, and say, brother, I'm so sorry about that. And I could sense that, you know what? Hey, they're telling me the truth. They never should have did it. And I said, I forgive you. On Wednesday night, it's like it never happened. It's literally like it never happened. I don't remember it because I chose not to. Now, I wish I had that capability, but I don't. I don't have that. I promise you, I would still remember it on Wednesday. And I'd be working on forgiveness. I can't say I'd be forgave them come Wednesday night. That was 2 days ago. I'm working on that one. You know, but that's us. You know, now I wish to some degree I had that capability. Because that would also mean that I was that much closer to dealing with people the way the Lord deals with people. And sometimes we wonder how the Lord can break through to people and how he can have the effect on people that he can. That's because literally the worst thing, after they've done the worst thing, if they come to him, and they're truly sorrowful for the right reasons, and repentant before him. He chooses not to remember it after the fact. What happens with us and the devil in our flesh to make sure of it is that when someone has done something to us, even if 10, 15 years ago or more, the devil in our flesh will bring this injustice to our remembrance. And if we've truly forgiven them, what we should do is cast down that thought and cast out that remembrance. Because we know that when we dwell on injustices, old feelings come back. There are things that people have done to me that I've let go of. And when it comes back to my mind, I'm telling you, and I know right away, I got to let that go. I can't think about it. I can't dwell on it. Some of it's even people real close to me, even family. And it's like, you know what? I can't think about that. And it's amazing how the devil works. Sometimes I'll get around family and the devil starts reminding me of things that's happened in the past. I'm getting ready to go around him. So it's almost like he wants some type of fireworks to happen when we get together. Trying to get to me before we even get together. I'm remembering stuff they said. Stuff coming to my mind. How could you say that? Getting all worked up. You got to cast it down. If you forgave them, then let it go. Let it go. Cast it down. If you forgive them, you got to let it go. Because again, when we dwell on injustices, those old feelings come back. And because we're humans, we can forgive and unforgive someone 1,000 times. And I laugh because that's just the way it is. Depending on how severe the harm was to us. So since we're not God and we cannot decide, I'll no longer remember, we must decide that when we do remember, again, to dismiss it because we have forgiven them. And we need to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us. If I had to guess what sins plague the church of the living God, I would say these, and they're all kind of related. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness. You know, it's more of the emotional strongholds. There are churches that are in bondage, and they don't have one alcoholic, they don't have one drug addict in the church, but they're in bondage. They're in bondage. They're angry people, bitter people, frustrated people, inward rebellion. Maybe not necessarily outward facing to where everybody can tell around them that they're living a life in complete rebellion, but they're living a life in inward rebellion. There are churches that need to be freed. In our passage, it goes on to say, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. It says, any man. It doesn't matter who they are. Any means all. And all means all. So have a quarrel. Quarrel, by definition, means a brawl, a petty fight, or scuffle. Then it says, against any. So whoever you are, and whoever they are, if you have a squabble, forgive one another. Now, this is important in the church. This is important in families. Because I tell you, we see division today like it's nothing. Like, man, it's all over the place. Families, churches. I mean, it's insane. I know somebody who pastored a church for a little bit, and at fellowships, you'd have half the church inside at the fellowship hall and the other half of the church would eat outside because that half didn't want to get together with the other half. That's sad. It's tragic. God can't do nothing with that mess. He can't use that. And think about the visitors. Why is half the church outside? What's going on? That's not attractive. People don't want that. They want to come where they can get help. And it says, forgive one another. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I think this verse here is great. It's a great challenge. Even as Christ forgave you. So I don't care who it is or what they've done to you. They've not done to you what we have done to our Savior. It was because of our sin that he had to come. It was our sin that nailed him to the cross. It was sinners like us that shouted him to the cross. His blood is on the hands of sinners, but it's by those stripes that we're healed. It's by his blood that we have remission of sins. And in light of this forgiveness, what has someone done to us that we cannot forgive them for? You know, I told y'all one of the things, or I believe I told y'all, one of the things in surrendering my life to the Lord is, you know, I had to surrender to the fact that if the Lord wanted me to go on the mission field where I went in the Marines in combat to Iraq, that I would go. And the first time I went to resurrender my life to the Lord had pricked my heart and asked me that question. I know it was the Lord. I answered honestly, no. And I got up and went straight back to my pew. And it was another few months of the Lord working on my heart where I said, if that's where you'd have me to go, then that's where I go. I do that if that's what you'd have me to do. But in my heart, I had to let go of stuff. In my heart, I had to forgive. I had to forgive them folks over there. And that was tough to do. So again, what has someone done to us that we cannot forgive them for? It says, so also do ye. The verse says, we serve a forgiving Savior. Now, when you reference Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35, we've heard of the story of the man that owed a debt, and he was forgiven of that debt, a debt that I might add would sum up to what many would estimate to be millions in today's currency. Then he went out and found a debtor among his servants that owed him a quarter of an annual salary and refused to forgive him of his debt. And when his Lord found out about this in verse 34 and 35, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother their trespasses. Now, why would our Savior be wroth with us? Because our debt to him was huge. He forgave us. He paid the debt that we could not. And we accept his forgiveness, then we go about our way, and injustices come our way, petty and small in comparison to our debt that has been paid in full, and we refuse to forgive. Then God has to come down on us. Verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. I tell you what, forgiveness can be hard, and forgiveness can be so hard. Some of the best testimonies there are involves forgiveness. When you hear about some of the testimonies and stories of forgiveness amongst believers, and I mean, you think about it, even on foreign soil, out on the mission field, the stories of forgiveness and how God used those stories of forgiveness, because everybody, if there's one thing this whole world knows, it's that forgiveness is hard. It just is. Forgiveness can be real hard. But the thing is, we withhold our forgiveness at times because we dislike someone to the point that we refuse to forgive them. And we actually think that we will cause them damage by holding it against them. But what we don't even realize is that we are self-inflicting ourselves more so. There was a lady up north, after preaching on forgiveness, she came up to me and she's like, you don't know who I was married to. He was verbally abusive. He was physically abusive. And she just went through this list. And when you hear people say stuff like that, sometimes it's kind of like, I mean, I hear you. I hear you. I mean, the Bible still says what it says, but I hear you. After the message, I didn't, blah, 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 this is what the Bible says about forgiveness. But the Lord had highlighted something to her. that she needed to forgive, that she needed to let go of. And she told me at the end of the conversation, she's like, I will never be able to forgive him for that. And even more, what the letdown was is that she met him in Bible college, was called to preach. They went through Bible college together. That was insult to injury. Most of the time, you think people living that kind of life, they don't have that kind of stuff going on in it. She thought she had married her pastor, but ended up marrying her worst nightmare. And then she said, and I'll never forgive him. About 6 months later, she came to me crying and said, I finally forgave him, and I let go of it. There was a church that she was also upset with from the past, and a pastor that she was upset with in the past. And at times it had come up too, and she was like, I'll never forget them either. So she, loved her to death, but she had a list of things she wasn't going to forgive over. And the Lord ended up scratching all, a lot of them off that list. But it was something that the Lord had to do. You know, you just preach the word and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. People come up to me sometimes after the service and say, I'm not going to do that. I mean, what do you say to that? I just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. You just highlighted the fact that the Lord's going to have to deal with you. There ain't nothing I can do. You know, so it's what it is. I'm not going to be the Holy Spirit. I can't be the Holy Spirit. It's not my job. But sometimes what we don't realize, and I had these conversations with that lady too, and I told her, I said, it is hard work to carry it. It is. Every time it comes up, you're deciding you're going to fight to keep it. It's hard work. You're fighting to keep it. You're fighting to push it down rather than just letting it come up and let it go. When you don't give forgiveness, you're carrying unforgiveness. Forgiveness is a burden lifted. Unforgiveness is a burden that turns into bondage, which in turn leads to bitterness. And then it controls your whole life. And there was a time it controlled mine. Long after my dad was dead, I was mad at him for committing suicide. I was bitter about it. I said all kinds of stuff against my dad to other people and stuff for what he did. And it all just ultimately came from deep down inside and the hurt and the pain that I was feeling and the betrayal that I was feeling and just feeling left and things like that and all kinds of stuff. And it did. It controlled my life until I let it go. I had to give it to the Lord. You don't just let it go to float around out there. You give it to somebody. And I tell you, when you want to get rid of something and you don't want it back, give it to somebody that don't want you to have it. They're going to keep it. And I tell you, some of these things that we got that we're dealing with, we need to just give it to the Lord because you'd have to go snatch it back. He ain't going to give it to you back. He's not going to put it right out in front of you and offer for you to take it back. If you've not forgiven someone tonight, I encourage you to forgive them as Christ has forgiven you. Nothing that anyone has done is severe enough to top our transgression of Christ and what we have inflicted upon him, but he forgave us, and because he forgave us, we need to forgive others. And at times, again, we're going to deal with this. Things are going to come to our mind, and sometimes I'll still have something come to my mind, and when it comes to my mind, I get a little bit more upset about it than what I probably should have gotten upset about, which means it probably still hit a nerve, even if I like to think that nerve isn't there. Sometimes that happens. Let it go. Give it to the Lord. And move on past it. That's what you got to do. And because again, the devil wants us in bondage. And if he can send somebody our way, he will do it. He'll do it all the time, anytime, all day, just all day, every day. And especially, I mean, I feel fortunate and blessed to be in full-time ministry, because when I worked out in the workplace, you know, especially some of the places that I worked with rough people, real rough people. I think I told y'all my boss at the pallet shop was involved in a murder. He didn't commit the murder, but he had the body in the back of his truck, his car, and he was driving the car. Well, that was my boss. He had spent 30 years in prison. That was my boss in that pallet shop. I mean, I was working around some people. I could tell you some stories about some of the people I was working around. It's kind of like I always had my eye on some type of would-be weapon around me, boards, whatever it could be, because of who I was working around. They say keep your friends close, your enemies close. Mad Dog Mattis said to be polite and professional, but have a plan to kill everyone that you meet. That was his philosophy. He was a famous general in the Marines. I wouldn't take it that far, but hey, you got... No. If you're in the military, you got to have that mindset now. Smile, but know what you got to do if you got to. Be friendly, but no, hey, there's a switch that nobody wants to get around. So, I mean, you got to know that. But, I mean, there's times, especially out in the world, that we're going to be working with people. And just how the Lord knows how to use believers to be a blessing to other believers, the devil knows how to use his own crowd to push your buttons. Because he knows where your buttons are. He's seen us worked up, and he's seen what we are worked up over. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he will put his people around us and say, go for that right there. And they'll do it. They'll say it. They're of their father, the devil. All to get to us. But we can't allow them to get to us. And when they do, forgive them and move on. It's hard. It is hard, but forgive them and move on. If not, then we have a tendency to become the offender in response to the offense. And it will hinder our walk with the Lord.